Welcome to the Adventist Music Podcast. This is a show that shares the stories of Seventh-day Adventist musicians from around the world. I'm your host, Khan Elmers. I love music and I produce podcasts. In today's episode, we'll explore another song story. This time, we explore the music of Philippe Pacanella. He'll be sharing about Psalms 23. You don't want to miss it. Philippe currently lives in the United States, but originally he comes from Brazil. He has a wife. He is also a full-time musician. You can follow his music on Instagram, and he also has a very active Spotify account too. You can listen to his music there. And also make sure to follow Adventist Music on Instagram and share the podcast with a friend. How would you like to partner with me in supporting Adventist musicians? Consider giving a donation today. It'll help me to do more for the community. Thanks a lot for your support. Could you share with us who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, so I am Philippe, and I'm from Brazil. I come from this state called São Paulo.
Take us back to a moment where you felt inspired to be a musician.
Ah, man, I've always been into playing anything. So anything that makes noise, I would hit my mom's pots and cans, you know, and actually our countertops in all of the kitchens we ever moved into were dented because I would use the knives to hit on all the countertops. Yeah, it's a struggle. But yeah, but that was my thing. And then when I was 7 years old, my parents decided to put me in piano classes. And then I found out I could play guitar. And I decided to learn how to play guitar by myself. And yeah, man, I just could never stop making sound.
It sounded like you drove your mom crazy with all the sounds you would make.
Oh, yes. Well, mostly my dad, actually. My mom is actually very patient with that, thank God.
Oh, wow.
So she doesn't even notice. But my dad, yeah, my dad, he needs to pray and have patience. Yeah. Well, now that I moved out, it's a little quieter in the house, so I'm sure they're happy.
And when you were seven, you started playing the piano. Was that a natural transition for you from heading pots to playing piano?
Yeah. I mean, I actually had a keyboard at home already. So on the side of hitting the parts, I would definitely play around with the keyboard and I would write my little songs, you know, even though I was a kid. Nice. My parents were actually in a singing group also. So I would, they didn't play any instruments, but I would accompany them like in person, you know, and just watch them minister and go to other churches and talk about Jesus. And that's what I grew up into.
So how did that impact your music as a young child?
Oh,
how did they impact you musically as a child?
Yeah, enormously, bro. I mean, but I think more than just the music, in the spiritual side, mm-hmm. they kind of raised me to serve God in everything I did. And it's also, I got a chance to grow up in the environment where my dad would serve God in everything he did. So to me, it's like, oh, so that's what you do. And whatever you do, do it for the Lord. So that inspired me to actually believe in, okay, I'll do music and I'll do it for God and everything's going to be okay. And I think if it wasn't for my dad's faith that I got to experience as a child, I wouldn't even have faith in becoming a musician. Because, you know, especially when you come from different countries like Brazil, if you choose to be a musician, that's a mistake because you should be either a doctor, a lawyer, or some kind of fancy job. And yeah, man, thank God. I was able to have the faith in him and take this calling to serve him through music.
And you went on to get a degree in music as well, right? Tell us a bit about what you achieved.
Right. So I have a few degrees. I have a letter of recognition in music therapy, and then I got a degree in jazz piano. And then after that, I got a degree in psychology, which I mostly do for a hobby. And then I got another degree in classical piano and orchestral arranging.
Oh, okay. And so that's what you're doing now.
Right. Well, I actually already finished it. Well, in COVID, what happened is COVID happened and then everybody went crazy. And this was at Washington Adventist University. So then, you know, we had the lockdown and then everything started to be online. And within that mass, we forgot to sign me up for one religion class. So I have the entire course done, but that religion class, and it's been about 5 years now. You know? Oh, really? And I really want to go back and finish it. But at the same time, it's like I have to take a class called Jesus and the Gospels. And I'm so busy with so much work in music already that I don't see the time to take a religion class. So, but maybe one day I'll go and finish and complete that degree. But in terms of the music portion of it, I do have it finished.
I see. So you just need to finish off a few classes and then your degree will be finalized. But in essence, you're doing the work already.
Yes, right. Oh, yeah. I've been doing this my whole life, and I am 32 years of age at the moment.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I'm 32 as well.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Well, why don't we talk a bit about some of the work that you've done so far? Could you tell us about one creative piece that really reflects the style of music that you play?
Yeah, that's actually really hard because I love eclectic music. So I have my degree in jazz, and then I do Brazilian stuff. I do worship music. I do jazz, like Christian jazz, and then Christian bossa nova. I even like rap, you know. but of course, I did release one song that was Christian rap, but I tucked that way further in the album so that people don't get too bothered by it, you know. So you actually have to listen to the whole thing if you want to catch it. I love acoustic music. I love everything. I love worshiping the Lord with several different styles. So it's really hard to have one song, you know, that would show my style.
Let me ask you this question though: how would you describe your music to someone who has never heard of it before?
Yeah, I would describe it as a mixture of John Mayer with Michael Bublé, but Christian.
Why is that?
Because it sounds like John Mayer. Yeah, there's a lot of guitar, John Mayer-y stuff. And Michael Bublé has a lot of jazz, like big band and orchestral jazz, and then also has a little bit of Brazilian jazz in there. But I do it for Jesus, right? So it's all with Christian, like a lot of original Christian music, and worship songs. I do hymn rearrangements, sometimes with an orchestra, sometimes with just a guitar. And I assume people usually know John Mayer and Michael Bublé well. So hopefully that gives them a good picture already of what it sounds like.
Would you like to share about one of your songs?
Yes. So one song that I recently released is called Psalms 23. And that's actually not an original song. It's a song by People and Songs. They do a lot of worship music. And the first time I heard that song, I absolutely fell in love with it. Just the peace that it immediately brought to me. A lot of times in life, we forget that God is always there with us. But this song is a great reminder of even when we're going through trials, tribulations, we don't have to worry because we're not alone.
I won't. mountains and valleys. His joy is refreshing, restores my soul. Mercy and goodness
I love that message. It's really peaceful.
Mm. Tell me more.
So what I would say more about that is that with music, we get a huge opportunity and privilege to impact other people around us. And I think that that song is really powerful because it allows people to experience a little bit of the peace that God can provide. And that's the reason why I decided to record it.
Let's go back to that time when you first started to decided to record it. What inspired you to make the song?
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, anytime I would hear anything that I would like, I would start playing it with the guitar, and I would immediately change the chords and change a little bit of the melody and make it kind of my own. And my mom would be like, Philippe, that's not how the song goes. And I'd be like, Mom, that's my version of the song. that's wow. Just how I do it. So immediately, as soon as I heard that song, I picked up the guitar and I started playing it my own way. And I was like, wow, I have to record this song. At the time, I couldn't record it because I was working on my second album. So I had to finish my album. And then as soon as I finished that, then I started working on that song. And thank God I was able to release it. And every time I've done that song, it's been a huge blessing. I do it a lot at church because it can be a worship song where people sing along. But I've done it at many different places. I really pray that it blesses people every time I do it.
What would you like people to take away from that song?
It'd be great if they could remember that God is always by their side and that whatever they're going through, they're not alone. And they're empowered to live a really healthy life, a really beautiful life, full of joy, because they can have peace. And in a world where there's so many unknowns and so many crazy things going on, that's one thing that we can count on, that God is always by our side. And I hope that this song is a good reminder of that fact to them.
Has anyone ever told you how this song has impacted their life before?
Yeah. A couple of people. I haven't received anything big from that song. For example, there's a song that I did many years ago called Your Grace. And then somebody messaged me and they were like, hey, man, I was actually thinking about taking my life. But that song came in the radio and it changed me forever. And it saved my life. Thank you so much. I've never received anything big like that from Psalms 23, but people have said things like, hey, it's brought me so much peace, and that is beautiful, and I really praise God for that.
I think that's like seeing the fruit of your labor right there.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. God is amazing, and it's really cool how he allows us to be used by him in that way where we can bring peace to somebody, bring joy to somebody, bring his presence to somebody through music and through what we do.
What do you enjoy the most about being a musician?
Man, I love practicing, which is weird. That there's this special place in music, at least for me, for a person like me, where I get to sit and play the piano and nothing else matters, or play the guitar and sing. And I kind of go into my own zone. And that happens a lot when I'm practicing. And of course, you know, when I'm playing for people, it happens sometimes as well. But that special place where it's just the music, me, and God. And I love that. I absolutely love that.
It sounds like a real spiritual experience.
It really is. It really is. And that's why a lot of times I have a hard time playing at parties, for example, you know, or if like you're in a room and then people are like, hey, can you play a little bit of piano for us? It's not my favorite thing at all because it takes away all of the spiritual part of it, you know, the part where I get to close my eyes and just focus on what's going on. But I absolutely love being able to play. And yeah, if I go a day without it, I already miss it.
Man, it sounds like you're addicted.
I know, right? Pray for me, bro. Pray for me. Yes, yes, yes.
It's a healthy addiction.
I know. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. what Ellen White tells us is that it's more important to prioritize the Bible. So that's actually something that I try my best to, and I'm working on, to make sure that I'm spending time with God more than what I'm playing, you know, and what I love doing. Because for me, it's easy to spend 5 hours in front of the piano. But sometimes I'll read my Bible and 10 minutes go by and I'm like, okay, what else can I do? So I think that it's really important for us to remember that God has to come first. And I actually wrote a song about that. But anyway, that's a whole different subject.
That's a story for another podcast.
Yes, that's very true. That's very true.
Next time. That being said, let's shift gears a little bit and talk a bit about something else. What are some ways that people can support Adventist musicians?
Yeah, so when we talking about this, I really thought about some things that God has been putting in my heart in the past few years. And I think it has to do with the church and how I really believe that it would be such a blessing if the church would take the music ministry seriously enough to hire musicians. And I am blessed to be a music minister at a Seventh-day Adventist church. So that is how I make my living, by, of course, making the music for the church. I teach the kids how to play at the church. There's a lot of things, you know, the sound system and rehearsing the band and then making sheet music, producing things for the church, all of that. And I really believe that for musicians, it would be really, really cool if we had a system in which musicians are able to be employed by the church. I don't know how we can do that. Yeah. I don't know. Because it's very rare, to even nowadays, to have musicians who are paid at the church. But I do believe that that is a great way of supporting people who go to school for that, people who are professionals in that department.
And what capacity were you thinking of?
So I really think about an international capacity. And that's what God has put in my heart. It's at the very early stages. You know, I talk with some people from now and then. The general conference is about 20 minutes from my house. So I do know a lot of the people there. But at the moment, I just don't see a way in which we could impact the church globally in order to have musicians at their church. And because of that, I am trying to do it in a local level. So here we have some workshops where I'll go to the churches and then I'll teach them how to do sound, how to have a band, how to have singers in the band, and how the singers can rehearse, and all these things that are more from a professional perspective that I think it's really important for the churches to have. And as they see this, I hope that it'll spark the desire to pay for musicians, because then they'll see like, oh, we actually need something like this. Because a music ministry in the church, brother, it's so big, and there's so many positive outcomes that can happen from having somebody who is doing this for the Lord, who is anointed by the Lord, right? They have to prioritize ministry first, right? It goes a little bit back to that thing where we talked about in terms of the Bible's the priority, right? But anyway, so people who are anointed and have the desire to serve the Lord full time, there's no limit to what the Holy Spirit can do with these people being employed at these churches. The church grows, the ministry grows. Even at the church, I've been a music minister there at Waldorf SDA Church for about 2 years. And God has made amazing things happen. Now, the church is growing. We have more members now. We're having more baptisms. The worship ministry is definitely a whole different thing now. And we're just getting started. You know, it's only been 2 years. The children are starting to play. It's just a huge blessing. And I think that for the musicians, for people like me who do this for a living, it's also a huge blessing, right? Because then we're able to live for the Lord and we're able to do what we love. I can't tell you enough how many times I've said no to gigs at Friday night. And for musicians, that's where you make the money, right? So if you're a Seventh-day Adventist and you're not playing Friday nights, what are you going to do? Right. But being able to be employed by the church is powerful. Just a quick other thing that I would like to say.
Yeah.
I know that this is a conversation, sorry. But okay. Another thing I would like to say is that if the schools had a system in which they train music professionals to be prepared to serve at a church, that would be really powerful. At the moment, I am not aware of any Seventh-day Adventist schools that are preparing musicians to serve at church and training them in skills that they need to have to serve at church. So making sheet music, how to teach kids, how to organize a worship service, how to teach people how to sing and how to do sound, you know, how to train sound volunteers, how the media aspect of things comes in and the technology, how you can use technology, how you can use multi-tracks, a lot of things that the world has been using for the past 30 years, you know, and we just don't have access to. We just don't know. And of course, maybe there is a school that is teaching that I'm not aware of, but out of all the schools that I have access to and that I've been able to talk with, and even the schools I've gone to, we just don't have a program that's teaching people how to serve the Lord in the church as a musician. And I really think that that would be really powerful.
Do you think it's important to have resources available to musicians on an international scale?
Extremely important. Yes. One thing that the church has done in Brazil is they have an app. And through that app, you can access the entire hymn book. You can access sheet music for the hymn book with chords so that guitar players can play the hymn songs as well. So they're arranged in a simple way so that the guitar people can play, you know, and all of the instruments. You can also have lyrics in that app, and they have professionally recorded all the entire hymnal, and that's accessible nice. Through that app. So something like that at an international level, that would be amazing. And that's a conversation that I've already started having with some of the people locally here. But we're still not sure on how to even get the funds to make something like that. It would have to be from the conference. But at the moment, I know that the conference is not prepared to deal with that issue, you know, at least not yet. But I am having some conversations with people who hopefully will be able to make these resources available in an international level so that we can improve globally the knowledge that we have about music, the knowledge that we have about serving God. A huge issue that the church has is the culture as well, right? So sometimes you go to a church and they'll be offended by drums, you know, which is totally okay. We're there to talk about Jesus, not to play drums. But we have to be mindful of those cultural differences as well, which I think is something that it has to be talked about if we're doing something at an international level, where we try to be mindful of all of the cultures and how to slowly impact the church so that we have a growth in the music ministry without scaring anybody, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I noticed that too, because having a conversation on an international level, I think is going to help to build the bridges for us to move together as a church and not drift apart. I mean, we can all have our differences in an understanding of the application of principles, right? But
right.
Ultimately, we need to be willing to lay aside our preferences sometimes, and just for the sake of being able to do what is which is right, you know, and to be able to share what we have experienced as the gospel with our communities. Being able to have the resources and the platforms like this one to be able to share those and various opinions that are out there, not just opinions, but their stories and the experiences and the community of musicians, and be able to experience that and to hear it, can help us to come to a greater understanding of each other and the path forward which God has for us as a community, as a church.
Amen. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. I think that we have to pray a lot about it, first of all, right? Yeah. Because people get offended, especially when music is a huge thing, because people take it to who they are, right? So if you like a song and you love that so much, it becomes part of who you are. And then if you say something like, hey, you can't play drums at the church, and then somebody's like, hey, but drums is who I am, so I can't be at the church. And suddenly you have somebody who left the church who is really sad, you know, and I've seen that a lot of times. Mm. So if we move globally, it has to be slow, of course. But at the same time, I would love to see that happening, just because we, in terms of globally, I would say that we're stuck about 200 years ago, you know, in terms of the music, and we just don't have resources. There's so many cool things that you can do nowadays with the computer and with sheet music, with having the PowerPoints and having people sing along, you know, and producing music and impacting people. That ministry can go so far, but we just don't have access to it in most of our churches. And I would say that some of it is because people are scared of the technology, and people are against, you know, maybe drums or maybe the guitar or maybe a specific rhythm. You know, all of that, unfortunately, makes it hard for us to progress, which is okay, you know. But at the same time, I would love to see progress regardless of style, you know, or if there are drums or if there are no drums. And that's something that I think would be really beneficial for musicians in our church, you know. So for example, if we have a platform where people can go and listen to Christian artists, that'd be really cool already, because every time somebody listens to my music in Apple Music, I make 0.00000000007 cents, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So if more people listen to it, then maybe that will help fund my ministry a little bit more, so that I can go and make more music, because making music is actually really expensive. But we never know where God is going to take the music that I make, you know, and maybe the music that I make is going to be a blessing to somebody that likes that style, even though it's not a blessing to somebody who doesn't like that style of music. And I think that having that open mind can be very important, but it's not even the argument that I would do for our church. I think that we just have to move forward, make something happen. Regardless of style, we just have to be mindful of the style so that people get less offended.
Yeah. And another question I have is, what are some ways that you've found to be successful in sharing your music and in growing your platform?
I find that the most impactful things are just doing live. So being able to play my guitar and sing at different places, I think it's really where it makes the most impact, because you can see people being moved and people can talk to you. I would say that, or at least an advice that I would give for a lot of people is, of course, it's really cool to have videos on Instagram and to do things, to do big concerts, YouTube, all that stuff. But try to focus on the people around you, you know, and make music to benefit anyone who's around you, so that they can be blessed. And I think that when you start making music to be a blessing to others around you and not to have views, you know, and not to be famous or that kind of thing, I think that the perspective changes and it becomes more exciting, and that allows you to post more, to make more things, at least for me, because I'm the type of person who strongly dislikes social media. I'm on Instagram because I kind of have to, you know, but if I didn't have to post anything, I would be super happy. I would love to just make the music. But when you see the impact that music can have in the people around you, then you're like, oh, wow, maybe I can share this too, because you're already doing something and you're not trying to make something for Instagram.
I see. Okay, so it's more of like the you're seeing the impact directly in front of you, and not just, you know, sharing a reel or something like that. It's yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. That's totally it. Because if you start having an impact around you, and I'm talking, you know, maybe it could be like, maybe there's a little kid and he's sad, and then you make a song for that little kid so that he's happy, you know, and seeing that impact, you know, just small things like that. And you worry about your community, and then you can maybe make a video of what you're doing there in your community and you can post that. But I would say that making sure that you're used wherever you are is more powerful than trying to become something in Instagram, you know, and YouTube. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm not on Instagram, right? But I, at least for me personally, it's been better to focus on where I am and do the things here, you know, on the now, on real life, than to just try to make stuff on Instagram. But of course, you know, God uses Instagram and TikTok and all of those venues, if you say it's a venue, I don't know. But yes, I think they can all be positive.
Totally. Oh man, this has been such a good conversation. Thank you so much for joining me on the Adventist Music Podcast.
Hey man, thank you so much for having me, man, and letting me talk. I know I have a tendency to talk a lot.
No, it's good. It's really good to get your insight.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, well, thanks to you for listening to this episode of Adventist Music. It was produced by me, Khan Elmers, and a huge thanks to Philippe for coming onto the show. We would love to stay in touch with you on social media. If you're a musician, tag us on your reels. We'd love to share them on Instagram, and give me a message on your socials too. I'd love to talk with you. Adventist Music is a podcast that highlights the unique stories of Adventist musicians. We are listener supported. You can give today and help us continue making these episodes for our community. Make sure you're listening in on the next episode of Adventist Music.